Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Early this morning, an intruder broke into the San Francisco home of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and violently assaulted her husband. During the attack, the assailant allegedly shouted, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?" Details of the attack are still emerging. Paul Pelosi is in the hospital where he is expected to make a full recovery.
The disturbing news comes at a time of intense partisan fights over election security just ahead of the November 8th midterms. So let's get to our Friday political roundtable with journalists in two key states. Henry Gomez is senior national political reporter for NBC News based in Cleveland, Ohio. And Elizabeth Thompson is editor of the Nevada Independent. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to start by getting your reaction to the news of this attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband. We are still learning about what the motive may have been, but we should point out, "Where is Nancy?" is the same thing many rioters were shouting in the halls of the Capitol during the January 6th insurrection. So, Henry, you're in Ohio. Have you seen evidence of political animosity that has maybe evolved into violence?
Not so much that's manifested itself in direct violence, but I live right outside the congressional district of Anthony Gonzalez, the Republican congressman who voted to impeach Donald Trump after January 6th. And Gonzalez opted not to seek re-election this year because of threats he said that he and his family had received. And it's really just part of a growing and disturbing trend of threats of violence and other menacing nature against sitting office holders and their families, really. You know, their addresses are public record. People find out where they live or they find out where their offices are, and they make threats about how they can access them. And it's always been there, but it's really intensified after January 6th.
Elizabeth, what have you seen in Nevada? I should mention a local public official was arrested in September on charges of murder, murdering a local journalist.
Yeah, that was disturbing, to say the least, and an ongoing story here in Nevada. That was a Clark County employee who is now facing murder charges. I think the most obvious and disturbing example in Nevada was last February. Our governor Sisolak and his wife were out to for a meal at a local restaurant. A gentleman approached them with a phone, asked to take a selfie type of photo, but the situation very quickly turned bad. This gentleman started yelling at the governor and his wife. I won't repeat all of the heinous things that were said, but one of them was that the governor should be strung up by a lamppost. There was a racial slur directed at his wife, Kathy, who's of Asian descent. And this gentleman verbally accosted the governor, and it went on and on, followed the governor out into the parking lot, screaming at him and recording the whole thing on his phone. So the video ended up going public the next day in the media here. So that's the one that sticks in my mind the most, because that was a fairly disturbing situation that could have gone badly awry.
I mean, it's an incredibly charged environment in which to be having an election right now. And Elizabeth, the Nevada Supreme Court last night halted a hand count of ballots that have been cast in Nye County, which is a very conservative part of your state, with just 40,000 registered voters. You know, it's also the epicenter of a movement to count ballots by hand. So what happened last night, and what does it mean?
Well, the reason the Secretary of State petitioned the high court to cease the hand counting is that confidential ballot information was being read out loud from one poll volunteer to the next, and that's illegal. You cannot broadcast or telecast voter information out loud audibly in a
right. They
in
even
a
wanted
location.
To live stream it. They wanted to live
yeah,
stream.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So I mean, it's. I hate to laugh, but it's just gotten to the point of being so astounding that there's almost no other reaction to have, where this county that Trump won by 70% is, the commissioners are convinced that voter fraud is a problem. So yes, they are trying to do a hand count. They probably can get away with doing a hand count if they cease reading ballot information out loud. That itself is not illegal. We'll have to see how the high court rules. But another thing I want to mention.
We should point out, just very quickly point out that, you know, that the hand counting of ballots is because they say that electronic voting machines are vulnerable to fraud, yet voting experts say that hand counting takes longer and is less accurate. You know, I'm just wondering where you think this will fall, because we're not at election day yet.
Yeah, well, the test, their test of the hand counting of only 50 ballots took hours. And so there's now a concern that, look, if you want to hand count 20,000 ballots, and let's say you even speed your pace up by 100% or twice that, you're still probably only going to be able to count maybe 10,000 ballots a week, which means it would be weeks in Nye County before we would have results. So that's one concern. But whether that's illegal or not, I think the high court will have to rule there. I want to just add real quick that one of the other things we've seen here in Nevada, it's not just Nye County. 6 of 17 county clerks have resigned in the last year because of harassment and threats of violence and the job just becoming too stressful and too worrisome. So we're going to have county clerks and roughly a third of Nevada's counties administrating elections who have never done so before in the upcoming.
So, Henry, in Ohio, we have a Senate candidate, a Republican, J.D. Vance, who has cast doubt repeatedly on the results of the 2020 election. He was once a Trump critic, but has since been endorsed by Trump in his race against the Democrat, Congressman Tim Ryan. In a recent TV interview with WLWT, Vance was asked about what he would tell voters about why he changed his mind on the former president.
Would you rather have a guy who's honest about, you know, making a mistake about changing their mind? Or would you rather have a guy like Tim Ryan who supported a lot of really bad policies for this state?
So much of what Elizabeth has been talking about relates back to the last election. Do you think Trump support is helping or hurting Vance?
You know, I think it's helping him. This is a state, Ohio, that Trump won twice by about 8 percentage points. If Vance had a problem in the primary, which was really crowded and really nasty, it was his past comments that were critical of Trump that a lot of his opponents and the outside groups backing them spent, you know, tens of millions of dollars to remind voters of. So he won by a plurality, and it was, you know, certainly aided by Trump's endorsement. And now that he's out of that primary, you know, you are seeing some Democratic groups who are actually trying to call attention to that past criticism, cast Vance as a phony, maybe sow some doubt into the mind of base Republican voters that he hasn't always been with Trump. But, you know, it's in a state where Trump is still very popular, certainly more popular than President Biden, a state that's been trending red, it can help. And Trump is coming back on election eve, the night before the election, to do a rally with J.D. Vance. Mm. Certainly they see this as being a successful formula. It's the one thing Vance has that sort of connects him to Ohio, because one of the things the Ryan campaign has been arguing is that he's sort of this interloper, carpetbagger, even though he grew up here, he moved away to Silicon Valley to be a venture capitalist. So, you know, having that Trump seal of approval is something that can help rally the base around him in a state where you need that to win.
And that's exactly what the Democrat, Tim Ryan, is going at, that Vance is a venture capitalist and very out of touch with working class voters in Ohio. Let's listen to some of that interview on WWT.
I've had the guts to take on my own party. I ran against Nancy Pelosi. I've gotten in fights with Bernie Sanders. I take on Democrats when I think they're wrong. And I will agree with Republicans when I think they're right.
But his party seems to have largely left him to fend for himself. Why, Henry?
Well, you know, it's the 8 percentage point data point that I mentioned. The national Democrats I talked to are very skeptical that Ohio is going to swing back blue this year. You know, when I talk to them, they say, you know, fool me once, you know, shame on you. And that refers to 2016, when they all thought Hillary Clinton was going to win Ohio. But then the polls leading up to 2020 showed Joe Biden within the margin of error in Ohio. And he lost by the same 8 points that Hillary Clinton did. So they feel as if, you know, there are polling issues here that undercount rural voters who come out and benefit the Republicans, and they're looking to spend their money in more competitive states, states that are important where you have to, you know, prop up incumbents who need it, like in Georgia and Arizona and Nevada. Yeah. And, you know, if they're going to do a reach, they're going to reach for a place like North Carolina where they feel the demographics are more consistent with their party.
That's Henry Gomez. He's senior national political reporter for NBC News based in Cleveland. Elizabeth Thompson is editor of the Nevada Independent. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.